Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Come on, man. See, look, you had to do that, too. Of course, that's on mic now.
Yep.
Just not off of me. All right. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Snodotron.
I am Snodimus Prime.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag. Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your
Which
host.
Is jumping inside the pull bag.
That's what she said.
He's Steve Megatron, I'm TFG1 Mike, and it is Otto Bottley, August 2023.
Where did the time go?
I don't know, but I wish it would speed up. These are the most time-consuming comics I have ever read.
My favorite one, of the volumes from here on out, is probably the last one.
Volume 7.
Yeah, but that's more so because I had a lot of the issues in there.
Okay.
And it seemed to kind of stabilize and focus more on Prime and on what's going on with the arc and things of that nature, and less on all the randomness going on.
Yeah.
And I was really tired of seeing the Witwickies.
Yep. Yeah. So Volume 7, the IDW Transformers US Classics, IDW Publishing, that is issues 77 to 80. So it's the final four issues of the Marvel US run. It also includes Headmasters, issues 1 through 4, and Transformers the Movie, issues 1 through 3. We will be covering all of that in a few weeks or a few months or whatever. But man, oh man, this is volume 5. It consists of issue 51 through 64. That is 13 or 14 comics in a collection. I'm used to trades being 5 issues, 6 issues. Like, I said it 15 years ago. I don't mind sitting here for 2 hours and talking about whatever. 15 years later, I'm old. I've seen some shit in podcasting. I'm done.
Yeah, like, that's kind of how most of us are anymore.
Well, you were kind of like that from the beginning, but that's because, you know, attention span went out the window.
I've seen things.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Christopher Lloyd in Suburban Commando.
I was frozen today.
Yeah, I love that line.
I love that line. We should use that on like a dump button whenever something's annoying.
Yep.
And we have no response. You know, somebody's talking about,
yep.
Yeah, I was enjoying blah, blah, blah.
I was frozen today.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's no comeback. I have no response for what you just said. So it's I'm frozen today.
Mm-hmm. I know this is sad. This is going to be sad and whatever else, but every time. So I have, this was from the DC Masters of the Universe crossover that DC did years ago now. There's a comic panel where Batman actually says the line in the comic, and for the longest time, and may the man rest in peace, I so wanted to get Kevin on audio, get off my lawn. But we're here in Otto Bottley, August 2023, to talk about Transformers Classics, Volume 5, as I said before, issues 51 to 64. And yeah, not only am I tired of the humans in Transformers, you're right. The Witwickies in this comic, they can all go to hell.
They're just whiny.
Yeah, pretty much. I did kind of like Spike and Fortress Max. It kind of continued, you know, from the cartoon. It didn't continue from the cartoon, but it reminds me of Rebirth when he became Cerebro. So Cerebro, he was the head of whatever the hell it was, you know, all that. So I did kind of like that. But he's basically taking his buddy Cliff, which originally I thought he was like Cliff in quotes, like, I'm going to go talk to this red Autobot named Cliff Jumper kind of thing. But no, it's another human named Cliff. And sadly, he doesn't know the bar your name is from and all that. But yeah, Cliff is an idiot. My first note.
I was frozen today.
Even worse than that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, Cliff is. And my overall note for this issue for what is this actually titled?
The Man and the Machine.
Yeah, Man and the Machine, Slaughter on the Slopes. I titled it Snow Day because they're going on a snow vacation. I'm like, okay, not really my thing. But like I said, the things with Spike and Fort Max I like. The art is the art at this point for me. I can't keep saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't like that it's only five different colors. Like, it is what it is. I will say that there's a lot more, because they're at a ski lodge and skiers, there's a lot more white in these panels than usual. And, yeah. I'm so glad that I have no nostalgia for this. Like, I know you kind of, like, later, you grew up on reading some of the other issues later on in a couple of weeks that we'll get to. But
I collected all of the Marvel line.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to find them in the quarter bins, like, for the most part. Unless it was really unfortunate. But I would find them for dirt cheap at this one comic shop, and nobody ever had them. And there were issues that I couldn't find. And so some of the issues that are here, I didn't own. But that's same to be true for the later ones. What's funny is the older it was, the easier it was to find.
Yeah. And it still shocks me that all of these, of course, this is back in the day, back in the 80s, 87, $1 US for this for each of these comic book single issues. Holy crap. That's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, the issue 51, it's basically Spike realizing, I have a destiny. I need to follow my destiny and kick Cliff off a cliff or something. Make him jump or something. I don't know. All right. So we get to issue 52. And
new 52?
No, I wish.
Yeah, we're going to end with some of the weird.
That's so issue 51 to 56. Is it 56 or 55? Where did I write that note down? Yeah, issue 51 to 55 are the last issues that Bob Budiansky wrote. Because in issue 56, Furman takes over. 52, my notes. First off, Mechanibals, really? Like, what's next? Is Judge Dredd going to come out of the, you know, trans time portal? I wish it was just called a freaking space bridge. It was so much easier. Yeah, so they're Mechanimals or Mechanibals or robot-eating mechanical life forms. Okay, so it's basically Kremzeke, but gross.
Yeah.
Yikes. And I gotta say, the cast of characters that they're using, and I know that part of this is because they were doing the Pretenders, as we'll get to later, and things like that, and they were doing the Microbots and the Micromasters and all of that. I don't care about a single one of these robot characters outside of Optimus Prime. I don't care about Groundbreaker. I don't care. I don't even care about what little Goldbug is in this issue. I don't care about him. I don't even remember seeing Blaster or Grimlock. It was must have been in like one panel in issue 52.
Well, they were pretenders.
Well, I wish I pretended I didn't read this damn book at this point, but yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to crap all over this. I know this is some people's jam, but this is just not my jam. And people will be like, but TFG and Mike, you've been saying for years, you don't cover stuff unless you actually want to cover it. Well, this is Steve Megatron's choice. Yeah, this is Steve's. Yeah. After a decade of me making him do everything on this podcast that he probably, some of the stuff he didn't want to do, most likely, this is his revenge.
Well, and I told him, I said, if we're going to cover some old Transformers comics, we have to go to the beginning.
And the sad part is, I agreed because I'm always trying to start from the beginning in most anything, and man, is this rough.
I forgot how rough. I'm not gonna lie, I did. I forgot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's issues I like and there's issues I don't.
Yep. Yeah, and the funny thing is other than some of like the toy bios or some of the other like biography stuff that Bob Budiansky did, I don't think he was on the cartoon at all. He was on the comic. So
yeah, he was like, on the comic. He helped build the continuity.
Yep. So like for me, I never, this is my first like doing volume 1 to volume 5 here. Is my first, like, because I wasn't a comics kid, I was a cartoon kid. I'm sure people are tired of me saying that, but that's what it was. But yeah, issue 52, what are the Mechanimals having for dinner? Oh boy, guess who's coming to dinner? And then we get to 53, recipe for disaster. Landmine and Cloudburst are about to become the Mechanimals' next meal. Oh, boy. I will say that I do like the smaller cast. Like, in this issue specifically, you have 3 Autobots, 3 Decepticons, 1 human, 2 Nebulans, and 4 other characters that are not... They're just other characters that are not... Like, they're not human, they're not Nebulan, they're not robots. They're, like, Master Mouth and Cruncher and First One and all that. So, smaller cast actually works for me. I think that's good. But at the same time, like, is it Cloudburst that gets caught in the lady's web or something or other? Yeah. And that's the other thing. This whole Pretender thing, by 1987, when this issue came out, I was already out of... 87, I was Turtles bound. I was already in the sewers. I was eating pizza. I was hunting the Technodrome. I know crap about Transformers, so... Pretenders, I never really got into them.
Yeah, I was a toddler.
Yeah, so. You were. he was a year old at this point, folks. I was 7. Yes, I know, I'm old. But the basic part of the story that I kind of focused on for this issue was the whole lady in Cloudburst and, but I'm really a robot. You filthy robot. You lied to me. Yeah, I am the queen of the ugly, bald people who have purple hair, which you'd think because it has purple hair or she has purple hair that I would actually like. No, that's one bald, purple haired chick I can do without. But yeah, I don't know. Am I missing something here, folks? I don't think I am. I mean, I get what's going on in this issue, but, like, I'd rather follow Skylynx around in space, doing whatever Skylynx is doing in space at the end of issue 53.
Skylynx in space!
Space, space, space,
space, space,
space. Yeah, my one note about Pretenders. Pretenders hurt my head.
Pretending, Pretenders.
Exactly. I will say that there is one good thing about the comics at this point in 1987. In the issue notes for this issue, it's stated that The comics were all they had to introduce new things after 87, since the cartoon was no more, as far as, like, introducing the Pretenders, introducing, like, into actual media, because the comics were the media at the time, other than just having the toys on the shelves. But, I don't know, maybe 7 years old and going from Transformers to Turtles is too old, as far as, like, I don't remember. From 87 to 92, when I was 12, I don't remember a lot of the... I mean, I know Transformers was kind of on its way out, but... I mean, it wasn't on its way out, but it was transitioning into things that I didn't care about having as a kid, almost teenager.
Yeah.
Any notes from you for 53?
I do feel bad for torturing you with this now.
Well, it's almost over, I think.
There's torture for all of us.
Yes. Issue 54, King Kong, or King Kong, because that's essentially what it is. Oh, Lord. And then Micro Machines, I mean Micro Masters, yay. My one note of positivity on this, because I know it's something that comes up later in other French, I was like, iguanas, huh? Nice.
Yeah, I did like that part.
Yeah, that was cool. My last note.
But other than that.
Yeah, other than that, yeah, my last note on issue 54 was, I feel like these stories are just there. There's nothing that's getting me excited about them yet. And the thing of these issues, issues 51 to 55, is that I have to remember, in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, and pretty much the whole 80s, it was not really continuity driven. It was one story. It's you know, issue 51, beginning story, middle story, end of story, get to the end. There isn't a the end, dot, 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 question mark. It's the end, period. So it's a single story, and then you come back 30 days later to get another single story. And I am so way past that when it comes to consuming media.
It depends on what it is. Like,
yeah, you're right.
Like Trek, I love the one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love when the characters have the overarching storylines that kind of evolve with the character, you know, where they do like a character focus and things like that. But when it comes to like serialized TV, Trek is not one of those ones I love having serialized, because there's always, even in the serialized or not, most of the series have episodes that are basically filler or just throwaway, or you absolutely hate aspects of it. And the same can be said for comics. Like, if you hate a non-serialized comic, it's fine, because in 30 days you're getting a brand new story, which may or may not be related in the slightest.
Yeah, and I don't actively hate this. This isn't me looking back on this, because I can't look back on it. Like I said earlier, and I know I repeat myself all the time, but I never, like, this is my first exposure to these, and this is my reaction to them, because I don't have, there is no rose-tinted glasses here for me. This isn't me going back and doing Generation 1 all over again.
Again.
Yeah.
Shrapnel.
Yes. but it's one of those things where I just can't get into these stories. And the other reason why I can't get into these stories, I don't care about these characters. These are not characters I know. These, none of, even when we were doing like volumes 2, 3, and 4, even when it was bumped, the only time I perked up in any of this so far is when something happens with a top tier character like Optimus, Megatron, Soundwave, Hot Rod, Cup, characters I know. I don't know.
Sure, even when Blaster was involved.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, fighting the Decepticons on Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though I didn't give a rip who any of the Decepticons were.
Yeah.
Or know who they were.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I don't know any of these. Like, all right, so we're up to the interplanetary. Oh, God. All right, we'll get into that in a minute. Yeah, so issue 54, I know none of these characters at all. Did my screen just freeze? Holy crap, hang on. Son of a bitch.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Where was I? What was I doing? I don't remember. Oh, right.
Yeah, about the characters you don't care about.
Yeah, if I don't care about the characters, then why am I going to be interested in the comic? So issue 54 has a larger cast than 53 did. Optimus, Powertrain, High Jump, Mudslinger, Tote, who the hell Tote is, I have no idea, Tailspin, Freewheeler, Road Handler, and Swindler. Swindler? Isn't that supposed to be? Anyway. And then, like I said, the only reason why I perked up at Iguanas is because it's this giant, like, iguana-looking, alligator-looking thing, and plus you have a, that's the only reason why I know the name is because you kept talking. I remember Weird Wolf. I know Scorponok. I know Mind Wipe. But these are not characters I care about at all.
They were kind of the ones that showed up in season 4.
Yeah, I mean, they were, but
the rebirth, and then you're like, eh.
I mean, I cared about them there because I knew what the hell was going on. Here, I don't know what the hell's going on. So, yeah. And then, not Furman. Furman takes over in 56. 55, Budiansky's final issue here. Transformers WrestleMania.
Ugh. I didn't mind this.
All right.
I liked Road Handler.
Okay, you talk then.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I liked the Microbots. I liked the fact that they were, you know, basically getting the hot seat here. And I don't know, like, one, they're the same size as humans here,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of cool. Or they're about the same size.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that he got in on the wrestling and then he started to get his butt kicked by a human.
Yep.
Until he's like, nope. And then he transforms and fights him. You know, it's kind of funny because he kind of reminded me of Cheetor. Like the appearance-wise and some of the shots.
Yeah, I can see that.
But very cocky in that realm. And then you have, you know, the Pretender monsters and Lord Zarek and
yep.
all of them showing up in the ring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that it was a different concept.
Yeah.
Playing on the robots in disguise aspect, but playing on the just kind of having fun with it and having them just mingle like normal with the rest of the people.
Yeah.
Plus, I was into wrestling when it came out, so yeah. Like not when it came out, but when I read it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be into wrestling all the time. I mean, we have a whole. How long did that podcast go? 4 or 5 years?
Something like that.
Whatever. We have Mayhem mics and all that, which people probably can't listen to anymore unless they can find it, but it is what it is. And, you know, I've loved WWF when I was a kid. I kind of got out of it in the early 90s. I got back into it the late 90s, early 2000s, and then I stopped about – when did I stop again? No, I got out the late 90s, early 2000s. I got back in 2007, right before you and I met, right before the network started up and all this and all that. And then
But anyways, I like the fact that we got the Micromasters of the Autobots and Decepticons, and Zarek is like mad that the Autobots are getting popularity. So he's like, I got to get in on this.
Yup.
He was playing Vince McMahon here.
Oh, God. Yes, he was. Oh, my.
He looks like him in the comic, too.
Yeah, they did do that. I can so hear
Vince McMahon with Ric Flair.
Yeah. Oh, God. Woo! Yeah. Oh, boy. And then issue 56, Furman takes over, and my first note is that here's hoping I can actually get into the stories now.
Well, it says back from the dead.
Yeah, finally, something to write home about. Megatron lives.
Attack the Airstrike Patrol.
Uh-huh.
In Ratchet's nightmares, the dead walk. Because he has failed.
Yep. Oh, you're going to love... You're going to love me a little. I think it's an issue 58. Is it one of these issues before we end this podcast tonight, folks? Steve is going to love me because I can't believe it's precedent before 2007, but we'll get to that later. Oh, boy. So, yeah, Simon Furman is now on the creative team. Jose Delbo did the pencils for issue 56. Along with Dave Hunt on inks and Neil Yamatov on colors. Letters were done by Jim Massara. So, yeah, 56, back from the dead. And I always tend to question Ratchet's sanity when he... attempts to bring Starscream back for Megatron? Oh, boy. But Megatron, like, Megatron always wants this. Megatron wants Starscream to be a puppet. And I'm like, who the freak is the guy in the... I'm like, what is that suit? And then I realize it's the pretender shell of Starscream and Megatron wanting him to just be compliant and not have his own personality.
Well, the other thing that's kind of funny about it is... Does it remind you of another leader who has an infatuation with his traitorous second in command? Beast Megatron.
Yeah.
And Dinobot.
Oh, yes, yes. And but yeah. At least Dinobot was competent. Dinobot was doing it because of his honor. Dinobot is smart. Starscream is not smart. Starscream is just power mad.
Yeah, that's why Black Arachnia is still traitored on him.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, she is a spider, so.
Yeah, never trust something with 8 legs.
Sometimes we can't trust things on 2 legs either.
No.
But yes, Megatron, back from the dead. And again, we've been doing this all this time over the years. Like, Volume 1 was way back in 2015. Volumes 2, 3, and 4 were earlier this year in April. I had completely forgotten that Megatron was even freaking dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, looking at the...
Well,
he
blew himself up.
Yeah, that's true. But I was looking at the teaser at the end of 55, and I'm like, somebody's back. I'm like, who's back from? Oh, right. The one true leader of the Decepticons. So, yeah, I liked this issue because I thought it was really fun. I thought it was interesting. Again, you have characters here that I know that I really, really dig, but... wait a minute, where was my other note? Oh, that's later. That's in issue 59. I'm jumping way too far ahead. But yes, like I said before, finally, something to write home about. I really did. And if we were doing this individual issues, I would probably give issue 56 4.5 out of 5. Most definitely, because I really did dig this one. This one was cool.
Yeah, I really liked how Megatron returned at the end, fully healed. The Micromasters tricked Ratchet. Ratchet's having, like...
Ratchet's having a bad day.
He's just having a bad day. Dude yeah. just can't nope. catch a break.
Nope, not at all. And we get to 57, and man... Oh, 57.
Heinz 57. No.
That's right. Come on over to All Things Transformers and the Pullbag, where you can catch up on your comics. You don't get catch up with your comics.
Joke made somebody must heard, you know.
They must relish the humor.
Yeah.
The humor with a O-U-R. The hum-hour. or however they spell it over there.
Well, that was good and plenty.
You. Yeah. I am Mr. Goodbar over here.
What a bunch of crunch.
I'm Mike, he's Ike. No, not Turner.
Anyways, we get to issue 57.
Yes, the Resurrection Gambit.
Bum, bum, bum. Megatron returns. Mm-hmm.
And he pulled a fast one on Ratchet.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the issue. I forget where it is. I'm going to have to scroll through here. So talk to me about what you think of the beginning parts of this issue, and then I'll interrupt you later.
Well, I think it's funny that it was just a diversion to get Prime off the arc.
Mm-hmm.
And Ratchet's realizing, yeah, I'm in way over my head.
Yeah. So we get to... So... We go to Optimus. Why didn't he answer the radio? I repeat, Decepticons, surrender or face the consequences. Okay, that's page, according to this trade, that's 147. The very next page, all Optimus panels. Perhaps not Whisper, but then my communicator. Who? This is Ratchet calling. So that's, we see where Ratchet was calling him. And then the very bottom of the panel... Why this brazen open assault? Why a human-built refueling planet? And now, why the... All as I can hear in my head is 2007, give me your face! So give me your face was a precedent before the movies.
Yeah.
Optimus is really mad in this issue.
Yeah, he's mad. Why are you so keen from protecting me? You're preventing me from communicating with my ship and my surgeon. Ever heard the expression, physician heal thyself?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he realizes it was a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah. Jeez. But I like 57. I thought 57 was cool. I thought, besides me, you know, drawing analogies to, you know, live action Optimus, I did think this was fun. I did think this was a little bit interesting because, again, it's focusing on characters, some of what, you know, that I actually know, that I actually want to see what happens. And it's basically Generation One Megatron doing all the evil things he does.
And then we have the final Pretender shells and Ratchet being forced to work for Megatron.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was a good issue.
And then it explains how Megatron survived.
Yeah, it does, which is good. That's always, you know, if you bring somebody back and you never explain it, that's not good. But you bringing him back, you explain how he survived, that's cool. That's good storytelling, which is really awesome.
It was nice seeing Furman kind of draw back to the well of the storyline that came before progressing it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of foreshadowing in this.
Yes, there is a lot of,
especially when Megatron finishes his pontificating.
Yes.
You know, and he goes, just one patient? You mean those outer shells are going to waste? Except that was probably Ratchet that said that, but seems a shame somehow, Ratchet saying, foreshadowing that he's got three friends that are going to be joining those shells soon.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then Prime just kicks the ever-living crap out of some of them. Just yes, done. He's just done.
Yeah, like I said, 2007, give me your face. This is where it started, right here in this comic book. Like, this is the fed up Optimus, doesn't really give a rip. I mean, he cares, but he doesn't care because he's going after the Decepticons because of what they're doing to his people and all of that, which leads us into 58, which leads me to my favorite cover in this trade.
Yeah.
The red Optimus face with the yellow bubble with the black text, Megatron alive, Ratchet a prisoner, Optimus out of control, and all the familiar faces, and Starscream returns. And also what I love about issue 58 is this kind of mirrors the movie a little bit.
How so?
Just a tiny bit. So on page 168, we have Hot Rod here. Prime? Decepticons, take him. Prime? Hot Rod, where do you think you're going? Prime's orders were... Blast. Leave him landmine. So basically, Hot Rod goes to try to save Optimus, just like he did in the movie. Kind of thing. And, one side, boys, Hot Rod's coming through. Oh, Hot Rod.
Ride in style.
So again, you put characters in a comic book that, you know, I care about and that I want to read, then I'll enjoy it. So Megatron goes to Ratchet, and Ratchet is working on this Pretender shell, and we find out that this Pretender shell is a hollowed-out version of Starscream, because, like I said before, Megatron wants a Starscream he can control. He does not want Starscream doing his normal scheming stuff. So, that was
kind of... I think it's funny that Ratchet double-crossed Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
Without Megatron really realizing it.
Yep, absolutely. That is always good. The last panel of this issue. It's payback time. No. And just Grimlock and everybody's showing up, and that's cool. Absolutely love that.
I think it's funny that Starscream is in an automaton. Blank slate, so Megatron thinks.
Mm-hmm. So he thinks, yeah, and then Ratchet did what Ratchet did. Yeah. Yeah, so good. I do love in the next one, in issue 59, my notes were basically... Hot Rod saves the day, and Megatron and Ratchet lab time.
Well, I liked at the end of the last one where you got the Pretender shells opening.
Yep.
And Jazz, Grimlock, and Bumblebee.
Yeah, all come out. Yeah, because we knew.
But I love the cover of the next of 59.
Yeah, 59, Grimlock and Megatron, and who's Grimlock stomping on? That's, I don't know, it's some Decepticon, but. But yeah, it's basic. And again, we know Simon Furman has a thing for the Dinobots, which is awesome because I like the Dinobots too. Everyone likes it.
Well, he did give Grimlock a rather significant role from here on out.
Oh, absolutely he did. Yeah.
And I love every moment of it, which is funny.
Yeah, I agree. It is so good. Yep. Yeah, I mean, like I said, even though, you know, some of these issues are drags and some of them are picking up. Now that we have Simon on and we get some continuity type stuff a little bit, it's starting to pick up for me. So we get Skin Deep, which not so Skin Deep. We got Grimlock basically destroying everything. We got
nothing new.
Yeah. We got Bumblebee and Ratchet reuniting. We've got, what else is it? Starscream doing Starscream things. What's he say here? Ha! Perhaps then, Lord Zarek, I am his ghost, come to wreak dread revenge on those who let me perish. Starscream. I just shake my head at Starscream.
Or where he goes, you're an idiot, Starscream.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we slip by the early warning systems in their own shuttle?
But yeah, I love how Grimlock gets his butt kicked, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, Megatron is like, enough of this!
Yep.
But it's kind of sad, you know, Bumblebee manages to basically tase Megatron, and Megatron just kind of stands there.
Yeah.
And he goes, he doesn't hear as well as he used to, does he?
Oh, man, Bumblebee. Mm. Yep, yep, yep.
And then he asks why he was, you know, turned back into Bumblebee. Call it a personal preference.
Yeah.
So, like, they basically reset all of the stupid changes to the original cast and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got a new writer on the thing as far as, like, Simon writing the... I think he's writing them both now at this point in time. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he was writing the UK already at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And I knew that, but I wasn't sure if he... I didn't think he left UK. I think he was doing them simultaneously, now. And Simon wants to bring it back to a classic, you know, normal beginning kind of thing. And what are you going to do? You're going to take the gold out of Bumblebee and make him Bumblebee again, make him Mustard. So, yeah. But like I said, I'm digging the writing on it. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I read issue 60, but I don't remember what the hell happens in it. Yesterday's Heroes. December 1989 is the cover date for this one.
That's crazy.
Yep. So, yeah, I literally have no notes for this because I know I read it because I was reading through this whole thing.
I think it's funny that Starscream gets knocked back to his senses, though.
Yep, that he gets his senses back.
He becomes a coward again.
Don't hurt me!
Ratchet put an expiration date on this on the stupid part.
Yep.
The brainless Starscream.
Yeah.
Gave him back his cowardice.
Yep.
Yeah, he put a shell program in.
He put a shell in a shell.
But, yeah. Don't hurt me. It wasn't my fault. It was Megatron. Take me back.
Yep.
I do think it's funny that Ratchet and Megatron... you know, jumped into the temporal portal there.
Well, they had to do something. I mean...
How do you take out the most powerful Decepticon? You throw him in a portal.
That's right. Absolutely. Any other issues on 60? Any other notes on 60?
I don't like Bludgeon.
No, I've never liked Bludgeon.
I like getting to see all of the stuff with Prime and
yep.
The other guys. But then you see Bludgeon, you see Thunderwing. I absolutely hated Thunderwing and Bludgeon in this. Just because. I just was not a fan of the Pretenders at all.
Yeah, same here.
Sadly, they don't go anywhere.
No. Yeah, and so I find this absolutely hilarious. And I wasn't running out of steam reading these last 61 to 64 here, but, like, my notes get less and less. Like, I have two notes for 61, one for 62, one for 63, and one for 64. Once again, I don't remember reading 64, but I did go back and look at it. Oh, yeah, I remember this now, but 61... the really real origin of the Transformers. Boo, I prefer the origin in the cartoon better.
Well, they have to change it, you know.
No, I know, I understand that. And I like the whole Primus is a god, Unicron is a dark god or whatever, and they're warring factions and they're giant heads and they inhabit... one inhabits Cybertron, the other one makes up his own monster plot. Like, I like all of that, but just, I don't know, again, cartoon kid, not a comic kid, so the origin of the whole Primacron and Unicron and Tornatron and all that and the Quintessons and everything else, I do, in this issue, I do love Starscream's scheming face where it says, so... is all the answer the listening Starscream needs. He recognizes seeds of dissent and rebellion and knows exactly how to sow them correctly so he can reap the rewards. I do love that panel in this issue. That is cool. But yeah, I mean, 61 kind of goes by in a flash for me.
Yeah, there's not much there that I really cared about.
No, the last page is freaking cool, though. And it is chaos and fury given form. It is Unicron. Dun, dun, dun. The only thing that can save them is the thing they haven't got. The Matrix quest begins in issue 62.
Yeah, this was annoying.
Yeah, it really was. My notes on this issue for 62, I like Nightbeat. I liked Nightbeat when I was fully introduced to him in the IDW books, so I figured I would like him here. I really do, but I just couldn't get into this book. The issue 62, it didn't drag on, but it was like, oh, okay,
Well, it happened.
Yeah, it happened. Like, Nightbeat has a cool panel on page 242 where he says, "We've got ourselves a mystery." Like, that's cool. I think that because it's his character. I like that about him. But as far as what goes on in this issue, I don't give a rip. Sorry, folks. And of course, me being who I am and what I've gone through in my life, I read the final page here in the next issue line where it says, "The Matrix quest continues as the Backstreet Boys override and dogfight become Kings of the Wild." I'm like, oh god, Backstreet. No. Just don't. No, don't, and stop. So yeah, Kings of the Wild Frontier. So the Matrix quest is continuing, but this feels like a one-off issue with these characters.
Pretty much.
Okay, I didn't think I was wrong in saying that, but
it continues beyond this, but yeah.
Yeah.
I was totally uninterested in this when I read it the first time. And I was totally uninterested when it got done.
Yeah. Yeah, see, again, you have four humans, five Decepticons, and like seven Autobots. Like, and it's a human story. Like, I don't get your human stories out of my robot stories, please. Please. So that's 63. And then the final one for this episode of the podcast, for All Things Transformers and the pullback for Autobot Lee, August 2023, is Deadly Obsession. The Matrix quest continues. When do they find this stupid thing?
Like, it's a while.
I know. I will say I love the art in this issue specifically. I think it's really cool. I think the cover is cool. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when Wildman and Furman get involved, it gets like more realistic.
Yeah.
Like Andrew Wildman comes in, mm-hmm. I think another couple of issues. I think right after the Matrix quest.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, no, I did like the art in issue 64. I thought it was really good. Again, you have a small cast of Autobots, a slightly larger cast of Decepticons. You have two others. And again, these four Autobots, I've never even heard. Longtooth, Pinscher, Doubleheader, and Zaron. Never heard of any of them.
Well, Zaron is like the Emerite is the leader of the Autobot Underground Resistance for movement.
Okay.
And the chairman of the Council of Autobot Elders. He's not a fighter, but, you know.
Oh, he's a Cerebros type. Okay.
Yeah, he's more of a, he's got like a lot of confidence and wisdom, and he's kind of the, I don't know.
Yeah. Again, none of, like, I've heard of Thunderwing, I've heard of Needlenose, I've heard of Ruckus and Spinister, never heard of Windsweeper for the Decepticons. And the other characters, I assume, are Harbormaster's probably a human, don't care. I wish I could care more about this. I really, really do.
But I don't.
Yeah.
This issue, like the whole Matrix quest, uh-huh. I'm not going to lie, I didn't like any of it.
I'm not liking it so far. I thought Furman taking over, I thought, like, I like him bringing the Dinobots back. I like him doing some other stuff with some other characters. You know, all of that and everything. So, but yeah, everything else, no, not so much. And I, these are not leave, like, the reason why the IDW stuff got to me was because it was things I had never seen, because I've never been a Transformers comic person before at the time. And it was with, like I said this whole episode, it was with characters I thought I, like, the fact that Senator, what's his name, whatever his name is, eventually becomes the one-eyed, one-handed with a gun character, purple character we know kind of thing. And it had concepts that were like, holy shit, they did what in Transformers? This is, like, I can't even say this is so 80s, because it's so not. It's just there for me.
I can see that.
You know what? We're going to finish this, folks, and I'm going to try my best. Hopefully when the Matrix quest is finally over and they actually have the stupid MacGuffin, it'll be better, because they'll stop hunting for the damn thing. Do they find the Matrix?
Then you have multiple storylines going on simultaneously.
That's fine, as long as they're with characters I'm going to care about, and we'll find that out. Okay, well, we'll find that out as we go. Any other things you want to say or mention or whatever else?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, I think that's going to do it for us here on All Things Transformers and Inside the Pull Bag. You can find us on social media at Geekcast Radio Network, at All Things TFV3, and at The Pull Bag on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on all kinds of stuff now. I am at TFG1Mike most places. It's at TFG1Mike Presents on Instagram and Threads. He is at SCP21 on Twitter. Where else can the people find you now?
They can find me on Instagram and Threads at SteveFillipsVO.
Awesome, awesome. Next time around, Transformers Classics, Volume 6, Issues 65 to 76. Shoot me now. Don't wait till you get home. Shoot me now. Shoot him now. No, wait till you get
home. But think of the fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I wonder what your other voice has to say about that.
Yes.
Oh, God, you freaking know.
It's a flaming dumpster fire.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Make you go, huh? Yes. Flaming dumpster fire of a podcast. I've been doing that for 15 years. Nobody knows. Anyway, thank you for putting up with my idiocy, folks. I hope you enjoyed Steve Megatron's thoughts on Volume 5 of Transformers Classics. Join us next week for Volume 6, and the week after that for Volume 7, which is the end, sort of, but we have a plan for some other stuff for now. For now. I hope to God Regeneration 1 is better than this.
Oh, it is.
Good. All right. Megatron, say something.
Something. Yes.
Make your great escape into comics and join us here on the Geekcast Radio Network's All Things Transformers and the Pull Bag in the future.
Sucker.